The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Magic number. We need a magic guest. Maybe you remember Brand Family Realm Network. A few weeks back, we had the one, the only David Young. Well, when talking to him, I discovered, again, unbeknownst to me, that he has one of the most smoking, hottest daughters ever, Amber Young, half of the Lethal Lovers. Joining us now, a warm Brand Family applause. Here's Amber Young. So if there's anything that you don't want to talk about or like it's just like whatever, just like wave your hand and I'll be like, all right, we punch out there. Because you just never know like what creepy. So before we even started, I noticed that your Instagram was private. So you don't hustle that or you don't like people to know about that?
I was getting a lot of creepy stalkers. Like so much so like people were sending me unsolicited pictures.
Can we talk about that? Because hold on. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we were speaking before we were actually live, and even though I had no idea that we would be discussing this topic today, this is one that is near and dear to my heart because I never have anybody other than you all to bitch and complain about who is super hot that gets creepy pictures. People. Okay, so let me just tell you, because this is a lot of men that are listening to this, okay? There's a few cute cutie pie chickies, but I can't tell any of my girlfriends or females, Amber, because they get mad. Oh, I'm not getting it. I'm like, you don't want these photos.
No.
You can't unsee, and then you think like, oh, could it be for a possible booking? Or maybe it's work-related. No, it's not.
My favorite is like the most recent one. It was so funny. I had a fan and he had like, he messaged me and he was even like, oh my God, I watch PWX, which is a show in North Carolina that my husband and I are regulars at. And he was like, I'm yours and Anthony's biggest fan, yada, yada, yada. And then like, he started like calling me.
Oh, of course. That's what you
are.
Calling and on like, Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Well, why not?
And I don't answer, of course. And then I'm like, listen, dude, I just got home from work. I'm trying to spend some time with my family. So can you just like chill? I was like, I'm not trying to be rude to you. Because, you know, that's how we do business. We be nice to our fans. And then so he stopped. And then about 15 minutes later, I'm sitting there on my couch. And it says a new picture. And I was like,
oh, no. Oh, no. No. No.
So I walked back to the bedroom where my husband's playing video games. And I was like, will you open this? Because I don't want to. So he's holding my phone and he clicks on it and he goes, yeah, that's a dick pic. And I was like, thought so.
So you didn't have to unsee it like I do.
Oh, there's been plenty. Just not that one in particular. But my husband will never unsee it.
There is one guy. See, what's happening now is I'm starting a Patreon like some of the other people do. Confusing to many that it's not a fans only, Amber. It's Patreon.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah. And there is one guy who just keeps sending his pictures. I mean, he did new screen names and it is the smallest, most pathetic, dwarf-like thing I've ever seen. And then he follows up with, what do you think? And so we've just dedicated an entire show and a segment to rating dick pics. We're just going to rate it. We put a little smiley face right over the tip, just the tip. And it's going to be fantastic. But like, I just, unless you're really, maybe it's different for you. Like for me, unless I'm really into a guy and I want to put up with like a guy and like, cause sometimes they're a little dirty. Not that women aren't either, but you know, there's pubes everywhere. And there's like, if you're dating a long haired guy, there's hairs everywhere. I have them too, but I clean mine up. Like you really have to be interested in somebody to want to see their dick. Like it's just not the most pretty It's not like a set of tits. I mean, that's like, I'm not gay, but I can say, oh, she looks good, or wow, right. I admire that. Like, I'd like mine to look a little bit more like that. It's not like I'm fantasizing about him, but I mean, to really fantasize about a dick, it's got to be attached to somebody who's not a dick. And usually if you are a dick, you just send unsolicited dick pics.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's funny that you mentioned that, because like Anthony and I, like I'm very comfortable in my sexuality. I mean, my husband and I, we've been together for going on 9 years.
Are you, we'll talk about that in a minute, but go ahead. 9 years.
And like, we will be legitimately, we'll be walking somewhere and I'll be like, oh my God, Anthony, look at her ass. Like, I'm very comfortable to say that a woman, like, sure. I'm very appreciative, especially if you work hard for it. Cause I know I do. So.
Yeah. There was a girl, woman, a beautiful black chick. Can I say that anymore? Just did. I don't think she'd say African-American. She'd say black. I'm so toast with all this. I was walking through Home Depot and there was this black chick, like, and I was just like, damn, like, and I had to just yell down. I'm like, please tell me that you do like 1,000 deadlifts a day and you squat. She's like, girl, I was just born with this. And I just looked at her and I said, you bitch. And I smiled and I mean, the hamstrings on her were just like, and I was like, I'm sorry. I love guys, but I just have to like, you are a freak of nature. And she's like, yeah, well, I did gymnastics. And I was always those gymnastic chicks with perfect hamstrings and their ass is just like, and you're just, again, you're just looking at it like, I want that. Not even that I don't want to do the work, but it's like, God, that's for people that have that naturally, or those chicks that you might be, you have the waistline that just goes like the V and their shoulders are kind of broad.
Oh, I don't like that.
You can't buy that. You can't get that in the gym. It's just like, it's hot.
Yeah. There's like a girl out here at the gym and like, I don't know her name or anything, but just like, she's a power lifter. And like, that's the sport that I'm into.
Really?
And like, my husband and I have been in it for a few years now. But like, this girl, she's just like her, like you said, her hamstrings and her glutes, like I'm just in love. And I'm like, I want that. Like, just let me have that pretty curvature and the muscles and just let me have it.
People say, and I'm going to see if you disagree with this, people say that cellulite, you just have it. There's nothing you can do about it. But yet I see people with perfect hamstrings and a freaking amazing ass who really don't have that much of it.
I have cellulite. I've busted my tail. Like, I mean, I don't, if you've seen my Instagram, it's like I had nothing. Like I was flat, and I've been lifting for a long time, and I do have cellulite, but I mean, I lift, I eat healthy. I'm not against.
Do you have, like, I didn't see your hamstrings. I haven't looked at your ass lately. I guess I'll have to take a look after this, but are you as big hamstring wise as you could be or want to be? I'm just curious if you filled out that area, can you still have cellulite or does it diminish a lot?
I think you can still have cellulite. Like right. I've seen plenty of women who are thicker and they have gorgeous hamstrings and stuff like that, but they still have cellulite.
Okay. All right. Well, that was a myth that I just needed to defunk while I had an opportunity to. So you are a gym owner, you are a gym trainer, you are a nutritionalist. I don't know what you do.
So I don't own one yet. That's the goal. Like the goal is to own my own. I want to own a sports performance center. So not just a gym, but like that's what I want to do. I want to work with athletes. I have a bachelor's degree in health and wellness, a master's degree in public health, and I'm currently almost finished with a second master's in human performance and sports physiology.
Oh, and you're David's daughter?
Yes, ma'am. I'm his oldest.
I'm just kidding. Your dad was so good to me and so cool. Redemption, you're on the show. Your dad's on the show. I had no clue what was going on with TNA. Your dad was really, really good to me back then. And I didn't know. I was too young and new to the business. And I was in there kind of as somebody that wasn't wrestling oriented, a fresh face that didn't have any history to come in. And I didn't have the respect that I needed to. So like, you are like the second generation of redemption for me. And I was looking at, you know, a lot of the matches that you've done with your husband. And it's just like, you guys have been, what's the main organization, the main promotion that you work with?
PWX, it's Premier Wrestling Experience.
Yeah, and that's out of, you said Carolina?
Yeah, it's out of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, so there's, I mean, but you're in like close to the, you know, Georgia. There's a lot of Atlanta, a lot of wrestlers in Atlanta.
Oh yeah, there are. It's just, we just never do a lot of Georgia shows.
Okay. How did
we've
you
always travel? Well,
how did you get the connection in Charlotte then?
So we were wrestling, let's see, where did we were going to what used to be Wild NWA Wildside. And then it was bought out and it became NWA Anarchy. And some of the guys from the Carolinas would come down to Anarchy. And they told us, you know, just come up to PWX and show face and, you know, help out. And that's exactly what we did. We went up and it started with Anthony just wrestling for them. Mm-hmm. And it was that for a few months. And then they were like, well, hey, Amber, what we want to do is we want to bring you in. Here's the storyline and all this. So, like, literally, it was like one of those things where they started me in the crowd. And
okay.
I was pulled out of the crowd as Anthony's girlfriend at the time. And literally, it just went from there.
Did they know in the crowd, like, did everybody already know who you were? Or did they know that you're David's daughter? Or did they know that you have a wrestling background? Or how did that unfold?
So nobody in the crowd really, they all knew that I was Anthony's girlfriend, but that's all they really knew. And okay. It was funny because a lot of the wrestlers for a little while didn't even know that I was David's daughter. Like, it was nothing that we ever talked about. Everybody just assumed, oh, it's Anthony's girlfriend. She's just trying to get in the business, not knowing that I had grew up in the business and I had trained and all kinds of stuff. So it was pretty interesting. Like, when people started finding out who my dad was, cause they'd be like, oh my God, you're really David's daughter? And I'd be like, well, yeah, you didn't know? Like, but like, you know, growing up in Georgia, like, cause dad did all the shows in Georgia.
I love it. So I love it. And you took his last name.
I did.
Or his, you know, and, but your one of your other siblings did not.
She did not.
I guess you guys are polar opposites with interests and things that you like to do. That's what he was saying. And
I'll be honest, she hated wrestling. Like, my little brother and I, we were very much into it, but my sister, she could have cared less about it, which is funny because she ended up marrying a wrestler. So
are you kidding?
No, I'm dead serious. She did.
When, so you got married 9 years ago?
Well, I got married going on 3, but we've been together for 9 years. Now, my sister and her husband, they've been married for 9.
But they're younger than you.
Yeah. Well, she is. Her husband is older than me.
That's amazing. That's
I actually introduced her to her husband. Like, he and I were doing shows together when I was younger, and I was like, him and I were like this. And I was like, well, Christina, I want you to meet my friend. And then, like, since my sister was 15, yeah, they've been together.
I love it. And I love the fact that you talk about something that is it's a fucking lost art. And I learned everything. They say I learned everything I need to know in kindergarten, but I learned so much in wrestling, but I didn't realize that I learned it until later. And one of the things that is a lost art is just what you said about show up, just show up and show your face and work your way in. Like, so many people these days, especially younger ones, they just think that they don't need to show up and they don't need to try. Like, that's just an entitlement that should be given to them for breathing. And it doesn't work that way with anything. And any successful person that I've had on the show or that I talk to or interview, they've all, whether they're in wrestling or entertainment or accounting, they've all shown up and showed their face. How long did it take you from showing up and showing your face before they worked you in? A couple tries? Like,
well, so I think we went up to PWX, I want to say twice before Anthony got on.
Oh.
And we were there for a few months before me, which I was completely fine with because at that time, I'll be honest, I didn't think I was ever going to do anything with wrestling again. I had a shoulder injury and I'd taken a lot of time off and I had just taken it as I was done. And then, so they were like, well, it's super easy. We won't do anything that would harm you more or anything like that. So I just stuck to the valet part of it. And it's been, I mean, I've still done a lot of stuff with the business and I'm still super happy with what I've done so far.
I love it. You said you grew up, like, I didn't realize that you trained wrestling when you were younger. Like, mm-hmm. You grew up seeing your dad at indie shows, and then you see your dad on, like, major television. And what part of your life did you just really say, like, I want to do this? Because you're still doing it, but then you're also a hybrid, like I am, where right. you're doing that and you're doing another business that falls under that umbrella and makes sense. It's not like you're out being a librarian by night or whatever. So how old were you, or when did it click where you were thinking, like, I would like to do this as an occupation? How old?
So I'll be honest with you, wrestling, like, legitimately since I was two, has been everything that I wanted. Like, we have, like, my mom still has them old, like, VHSs of, like, me and dad in the living room floor, and we're wrestling, and, you know, I'll get on his back or jump off the couch or something like that, to where in middle school I started wrestling for my middle school team. And then, like, I was just like, by the time I got to high school, I was like spending every single weekend at wrestling shows, whether dad was there or not, I was there. And I was doing whatever I could. Like, I'd get in the ring after shows. I'd be there on, like, training days on, like, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. If I was with dad and he was home and not on the road, we were going to a building with him and my Uncle Terry Lawler, and we would just train in the ring. So, like, I knew as a kid, like, this is what I wanted to do forever.
I want to bookmark that name, Lawler, in a second, and then remember that. But I want to go back to, do you think you were interested in wrestling because, A, maybe at 1.5, you saw a tape, or B, you just knew that your dad and you naturally did that, and that was a way to bond with him, or something in the middle?
So I'd definitely say it's like, when I was a kid, I enjoyed watching it, but I think for me, it was more so the bond and, like, how my dad and I clicked so well with wrestling that just really did it for me, because he was on the road all the time, and I can't be mad at him for that because he was making a living. And now, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't really understand it, but now I do, and I'm still appreciative. Like, he followed his dream, and that's what he taught me as a life lesson, was, you know, never give up on something. If you feel like it's your passion, then you should follow it. So
I agree. Yeah. I never realized until your dad was on and I went back and researched and watched a lot of his older matches. Like, I had redemption. Yeah. No clue. I have no clue. I'm just so happy to hear, like, somebody that's younger than I am that has a freaking clue. Okay. Now you bring up some bomb with me. Is it any relation to the other Lawlers, or is it just happened to be the same name as Lawler? Can't talk about that.
Well, no. So I don't really know. So.
Okay. All right. If you need me to edit out, let me know. If not.
No. You're good. It's my dad's. So I call him my uncle. And at one point he was. It was when my dad was previously married. His wife.
Okay.
Was related to Terry Lawler. And I don't think he's related to other Lawlers.
Okay.
But he's still part of my family, you know. Oh, with wrestling, you develop those families, and they're family for life.
Yeah, no, I just was wondering, is he related to, like, the Lawler family in wrestling?
That's, oh, I have no clue. I'll be honest.
Strange name to just pop up in wrestling.
Well, like, he wrestled himself, like, for a long time. He was, he tagged with Frank Paris for a while. I know that.
So, South Carolina, like, did you run into any of the Flair guys then?
I did not. The only family from Carolina that I ran into was the Blanchard family. And okay. I met Tessa, and she was at PWX. And that's, you know, one of the places that she really got started. And we were, like, really, really close when she first started in the business.
I got it. Now I know. Blown away. So now you are back in school, or you, wow. And your goal, which of course you'll get, is to actually own your own? Do you want to franchise it? Do you want to just do an extension of maybe where you're at right now? Are they grooming you to take this one over or open another one? Or that's a whole nother bee's.
Oh, yeah. So what I do is I run a Family Y, which is, it is a gym, yes, but they do everything. You know, it's community outreach. Yes. It's summer camp, childcare, swimming, you know, basically everything. This is my second location that I've opened. I opened a location for this same organization in 2017. And then we opened the location that I run day to day now on June 1st, 2019. So a little over a year now I've been with this one. I don't know where I'll go from here. Like, as far as the why goes, I don't think that I'll go on to be like a CEO, a COO or anything like that. Because my ultimate goal is like, definitely, I do want to run my own center. And what I want to do, even though I'm learning from what I do now, it's still different than what I want to do.
No, I can see you running like a really cool, bougie, athletic, edgy spot that's super branded. And there's got to be other people that you can team up with around your area for that too. Like if you ever needed to, like, or would your dad ever want to go into business with you with that? Or what? I don't even know what the hell he's doing.
You know what? I don't either. I know he tells me he goes to work, but I couldn't actually tell you what he does.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd want to. He's kind of a big influence on my life on the fitness aspect. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I was a bit heavier and like, I'm not afraid to talk about it. Like I went about it the wrong way to lose weight. I did a little bit of, like with anorexia and bulimia, and I was young. I mean, I was a teenager and I got sick, you know, it happened. And so I went through like everything that I needed to get better. And of course, it's still something that I battle with all the time. Like, I have really bad body dysmorphia, and I don't deny that because I see myself totally different than somebody else does.
I think you look hot. You should listen to me. I've got the best opinion ever.
Well, thank you. But like, you know, dad taught me about fitness, and dad would take me to the gym and stuff like that. So I think he would be interested. I would definitely have to move closer to him in order to do that. Cause like, we live on two opposite sides of the state.
Okay.
He lives closer to Tennessee. I live right at the South Carolina border.
Oh, like, that's why you're going to South Carolina. Okay. So I was like, man, that's kind of a daunt. Did you go to the gym and do all of that stuff before, during, or after you'd battled with just different disorders? When did that come into play?
It was after. Okay, like, I didn't experience the gym. Like, you know, most people tell their story about like anorexia and bulimia and say that they were running all the time and stuff like that. And honestly, I wasn't. I never went into the gym. When I did it, I would just find other ways to do it. Like if I had to eat, I would only eat where my parents wouldn't get suspicious. And then I would go throw up after. And then like, I hit it pretty well for a long time until like, it got significantly low. And then both my parents started asking questions.
God love you. That's just so hard. Like, people don't understand. They don't understand like what it's all about. And you do get twisted in your self-perception and how you see things. And then on the flip side of things, like my mom died and I gained a shit ton of weight, and I've got 25 pounds on me that needs to go. And a lot of people have known me since I've been 25 pounds heavier. So I can't say anything to anyone without them asking, are you bulimic or are you? And I'm like, no, I'm just fat. And then, of course, if they're fatter than you are, then they get offended. So it's just like, it's such a personal thing and it's such a private thing. And it's just like, it's not anybody's beeswax, but of course, your parents' business if they're concerned about their child. And
So and it's like, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. And it's like, what?
Like, you know, when you go through something like that, especially like even like losing someone who you care about so much, depression, like it's such a hard thing to battle with. And if you're like me, I'm an emotional eater. So it doesn't matter if I'm sad or I'm bored or something like that. I'm always the type where I either go one extreme or the other. Yeah. Yep. Like my husband constantly watches it because he like, even like just the other day, I work with COVID-19 and the riots and the looting and everything going on right now. It has been super stressful for me. So like the other day, I ate breakfast and then like we went to the gym and I did cardio and then we came home and he was like, you want to eat lunch? And I was like, no, I took a nap. And then I got right back up, went right back to the gym, did more cardio and ended up not eating lunch, not eating dinner. And like, I just went to bed. And my husband, you know, the next morning he was like, you okay? What's God going on? He God was like, let's talk about it. So
Jesus, what a good guy. And he's a wrestler.
Yes, ma'am.
Does he have a side hustle as well, or is he full-time wrestling?
So he was full-time wrestling before COVID-19.
Yeah.
But he also is, like, my husband's a fitness junkie as well. He's personal trainer. He online coach. He's currently working towards what's called a CSCS certification. It's a certified strength and conditioning coach. So, like that's our thing is we want to own the gym together, run it together, work together, you know.
It sounds like you guys are really good. I can't say like I know a lot of people in entertainment, not just sports entertainment, who it's just like it's a little shaky. It's a little freaky. When I was reading about you, it said after some ups and downs, it kept referring to in different articles about ups and downs, you know, the Lethal Lovers, ups and downs. Are the ups and downs relationship ups and downs or business ups and downs or what you could talk about or?
I'm trying to even think like Anthony and I, we really mesh well together. We don't fight a lot. Like, if we might have heated discussions about things, and of course there's a lot that we don't agree on things, sure. But overall, like, I think when they're talking about ups and downs, it's more towards the wrestling storylines.
I got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cause like, of course every relationship has its ups and downs, but not to a point where like our marriage or our relationship has been like so totally broken or anything like that. Like we're very open with each other. Like we talk about things and of course we've had rough like arguments where like he has to leave the room because I'm being a bitch or something like that. But everybody has those. It's nothing major.
No. Okay. That's good to know. And then you do have one child or more?
So she is my stepdaughter. Okay. But it's his daughter. We have full custody of her.
Wow.
She's 12. And I would tell you, like, I swear she's my child.
Of course she is. Of course.
Like, I love her more than life itself.
Does she get to go see her birth mom? Do you guys just have custody?
She does.
Okay.
She sees her birth mom. I mean, when she's able to, she will go to her grandmother's house on the weekends. Not every weekend, of course, because she's hitting that preteen age where she wants to be out with her friends and stuff like that. But when she does go, that's her time to visit with her grandmother and her mom. And her mom has another child. So she's able to spend time with her little sister, too.
No, I love it. It sounds like you guys really have it together, like really hardcore. I love it. It's just inspiring. It's inspiring for people to see how you can make this work. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's so many, again, I'm not in wrestling so much anymore other than just podcasting and whatnot, but like we do tour. I am in a band and, you know, we tour every week and whatnot. I don't know if you don't even know that probably. You don't know.
No, Dad didn't tell me that.
So that's like my full-time deal. And then I also have a photography studio here.
Oh, wow.
And I do health and wellness. I was with the company for years and years and years. Doing that whole thing, a lot of business in Atlanta and a lot of business in McDonough, Georgia. I was working with, and I don't know if you know Tracy Taylor, Micah Taylor.
So I used to babysit their kids.
Oh God, Isaiah and Mia. Okay, wow.
Nina,
yeah.
Oh yeah, I used to. So Dad would travel with Micah and Tracy. Like they would be doing the video game stuff when they go out to California. And I'd babysit Isaiah and Mina while they were all gone on those trips.
You poor thing. Isaiah, he's a great, great dude. So So we worked together for years with health and wellness, doing this side hustle, which you should talk about that sometime.
Absolutely.
Good income side hustle. And then some people did as they do and got super greedy and weird in the upper echelons. And then that whole thing came tumbling down like about a year and a half ago. And everybody that was, we were working together, jumped to another newer company with different, more pure, no GMO ingredients. And Tracy, it took her a little while because right during the COVID, like just everything hit, and it took her a little while, but now she's back on and we're business partners again. So I will be coming to McDonough, Georgia quite a bit. And then we play in McDonough, Georgia too. There's a really cool spots there. So I don't even know why the hell I was talking about this in the band. It's good to see, because you know, anybody successful, anybody that's wealthy, your million, your billionaires, like every single person has at least five, minimum of five, you know, streams of income and passive income and side hustles and whatnot. And it's such a cool thing to have you on here to show people that you can live your dream, do your dream, still make money, figure out ways, like it's under that umbrella of everything that I'm doing makes sense. You've got a great relationship with your husband, your child, just everything like that's so inspiring and good for people to hear. We need to hear more success stories rather than, you know, there's just too much funk going on right now. So that's a good, that's a good thing. Agree. So here you are, you start wrestling in high school?
So Dad and I made an agreement that I could not actually start wrestling until I was 18.
Okay.
But I was training before then. I started like actually training when I was 13, and I made the deal with him.
But David Young was how old when he started? Wasn't he like 16 or 17?
Oh yeah, he was like 16.
See? That's such a standard, that asshole.
Well, he always told, like, he would always tell me when I was a kid, he'd be like, no, you're not getting in the wrestling business. You're not doing it. And he was like, you'll never date a wrestler. You'll never be a wrestler. You'll never marry a wrestler. And then, like, I hit 13 and I started training. And then, of course, you know, like, by that time, he started, like, okay, well, let's go to the ring and try this and do this spot and this, that, and the other. And, like, from there, like, I hit, I was probably like 15 or 16, and I started dating my first wrestler. You know, he hated it. He hated him the whole time. And then, like, I think as I got older, he just kind of accepted it, as long as, like, and of course he knew everything that was going on in my life, the good, the bad, the ugly. If it was in wrestling, he knew it. There was never any hiding it from him. I never tried to. And then Anthony and I was 20, and we met at a wrestling show and started talking, and then just like from there hit it off. And like, normally Dad hated every boy, whether he was a wrestler or not. Every boy, of course, you know, his first girl, first child, didn't matter. But he liked Anthony, like, it right off the bat, loved him. And I was like, something's not right. Why? But they get along. I mean, they get along really well. Dad loves talking about Anthony, and Dad loves telling Anthony his stories. And
he spoke so highly of him and so highly of you, and just so proud of you. Like, how could he not be? And it's one thing if you were just some floozy running around, you know, doing your thing, but you totally have it together. Like, I love it. I absolutely love it. What was one of the things that I wanted to talk about? One of the interviews that I read, which it was supposed to be both of you, but it was a little bit more geared towards Anthony. Imagine that in an interview, that it would be more towards the man. Just kidding. Did I say that out loud? but one of the things that he did give was a great answer for, you know, what's the best advice that you could give somebody in the business. And he said, you know, to shut up and listen, even though it took him a while to learn that. Again, a great life lesson for pretty much anything. I didn't follow it in wrestling, wish I had. But, you know, did you see him more cocky in the beginning, if you met him when you were 20, you know, he's had a run since then.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what have you seen? How have you seen your husband shift? What have you learned from watching him in this business that people listening that are interested in getting into the business, like, how can we learn some things from maybe some tweaks that you guys made?
So it's funny. Anybody you ask, my husband's an asshole. Especially like when we first met, like it was Anthony and I started talking and we were dating, and even Bill Barons had messaged my dad and was like,
Bill Barons, that's awesome.
Bill was like, Dave, don't let her do it. And so dad had like messaged me. He's like, Amber, who's this guy? Like, and granted, when dad first met him in person, he loved him. But like, you know, that's everybody had always said he's a bad seed. He's got a bad attitude. He doesn't know how to shut his mouth. He's anger issues. And I can see how people would see that. Like, I got the different version of him. Like, people would be like, you're so personable and he's an asshole. How does that work? And I'd be like, because he's not that bad. Like, he's really not an asshole, you know? But like, anybody in the business that we're friends with will tell you they hated him. Most of them did. But like, as we've grown in the business and done shows and stuff like that, he met different people and he learned different lessons. But like, I really give a lot of credit to a friend of ours. His name is Chris Wiggins. He's a referee and he's here in the Georgia area. He used to run a show here in Georgia, but like, we traveled with him a lot, and him and Anthony had like these personal conversations just about wrestling. And it really helped Anthony open up and get people to see a different side of him. But Chris was able to, you know, help Anthony develop as a person and as a character in wrestling. And then people got to see more personality out of him and see that he's just a big goofball. I mean, whoa. he's like real brooding and mean looking all the time, but then they're like, he sings Disney and like dances like a fool, you know, like he'll get out on the field and cheer with our daughter and not be ashamed of it in any way, shape, form or fashion.
You guys, I'm looking at a picture of him right now, you guys together. But what were you going to say?
I think me and some friends of ours, especially me being so outgoing and him not,
mm-hmm.
I think that really developed with him over the years, because he would stand there and not talk to anybody. And I'd be like, hey, well, why don't you come meet Anthony and, you know, force him to talk.
You're great. And so is he for checking in on you and making sure your dietary plan is on track and whatnot. That was a really sweet story that you shared earlier. And he's just I'm looking at him right now and just an absolutely, both of you guys are just beautiful. I'm just so glad that things are good and you're happy. And so when I ask, you know, what's next, we'll be respectful of your time. But when I ask what's next for you, you're going to stay doing what you're doing for a while. And then you're going to finish your education. And then you're going to open this amazing gym. And what else?
Those are the plans. I mean, we've talked, like, we're to the point now where like our daughter's getting older and we're talking about, you know, making our family bigger. And
really? Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And like, just really like focusing on our family and on our business. Like, not to say that wrestling's taking a back burner, unfortunately, right now, you know, it is, but really right now it's focusing on what we can do to grow a business, what we can do for our family. You know, for us, our family is everything. So making sure our daughter is taken care of and stable, and really it's just like, that's our main priority right now is our family.
No, I love
it. Our daughter's going insane right now. So she misses school. She misses her friends.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just been doing what we can to entertain her.
Yeah, she sounds like just really, really cool. I have to go check her out somehow and see. Is she on your, is your thing still private? It is still private, right?
It is. And right. I don't mind making it a non-private, but like there was a point in time when like I was getting great, like the messages and everything, but it's slowed down since. So I don't, it was unprivate before.
What's the craziest thing, you know, other than unsolicited pics? Like, is there just some weird, crazy story that sticks out to you in wrestling? I mean, I've got, of course, a ton, but like for you, with, because you're in the business with your husband, like, do things ever still get weird, or is there something? Okay, of course they do. What was I thinking?
No, you're good. I've had. Even though people know that Anthony and I are together and that we've been together, I've had legitimately fans find out my birthday, and then like they have driven wherever I was, like,
sure,
showed up to mm-hmm. give me birthday presents.
Okay, not too bad.
The most recent one was a man asked to be my sugar daddy, even though like he knew nothing about me, and he was like, "I seen your Instagram profile. Like, can I be your sugar daddy?" And so I messaged him back. I was like, "Well, how do you feel about being my husband's sugar daddy too?"
What did he say?
He was actually down for it, but
I was gonna say,
"I'm totally screwing with you."
Yeah, dude. The three-way proposition. Like, I get some really, I can't get a guy that can please me just one-on-one. Why would I want to water that down? I just. It's hard enough to orgasm with these dipshits. They don't know anything. I only had one guy in my whole life. One guy in my whole life could like do it right, and then that didn't last. But like, and then there's all these like wannabe players that show up, and they just they're just so interesting. Like they, or guys that just would have no shot with you at all, and they like, it's almost like they're stepping up to the plate or getting under the rope into the ring. Like, here I am. And there's really delusional people that show up at shows and they follow mm-hmm. you, and they think they know you, and they think that they have a relationship with you, and you don't. And then they show up with like crazy eyes, like, "Here I am. Huh? Here I am. Like, who are you?" You know, like, "Oh, well, I'm on your Facebook." Well, I have 17 Facebook pages. You know, I don't know who you are, and give me a minute to connect the dots or something. But they literally show up with this crazy eyes, this, you know, like you're supposed to just like go, "Oh my God." I remember one time there was a guy that's followed us for years. Lovely man. That's it. I'll just leave it at that. But like, I think sometimes throughout the years, married guys like bonus prize or something. Like if they ever do get a divorce, like Goldie's the one that we're going to like I'm waiting for them. Like I'm just, you know what I mean? And again, like nobody that I would ever be interested in, pray tell. But one guy like messaged me the Christmas Eve a few years back, and he just said, "Well, I'm divorced." And I was like, "Okay, like, sorry." And he's like, "Well, I guess I'll be coming for Christmas then." I'm like, "What are you talking about? Like, what delusion in your mind? Like, he really in his mind thought he was coming to spend Christmas with me. Like, the papers are final." I'm like, "I don't know you. I mean, I know you from shows and stuff. You're a nice guy. I'm in Minneapolis with my family. Wasn't waiting for your call." You know, I mean, to him, it was just a shock, or like porters at shows that show up, like they think that they're going to hook up with you for real. Like, it's not even like do you want to be my sugar mama? Or do you, it's like, they've already got it preconceived in their mind that this deed is going down, and it ain't.
I've had that not in wrestling, but at the gym. I've legitimately had like members who come up to me and they're like, "Oh, you want to go for a drink?" And I'm like, "I'm married." And they're like, "So?" And I'm like, "I'm happily married." And they're like, "So?" And I'm like, "I don't drink." And they're like, "Oh, well, you can just get water." And I'm like,
"Oh my God, take you ass wipe."
Yeah. Like, and that was recent. Like, that was just within the past few weeks. And I was like, literally, you have seen me come in here working out with my husband. Like, what part of not interested do you not get?
No, not at all. Do you not drink, or do you? Let me tell him to get in. We want to tell him to say hi. Wave him down. Come on.
We're going to do this. He just got through his cardio.
Tell him to get in. Because we're almost done. We're going to end it up.
She wants to say hi.
What's up?
What's the gimmick, Anthony Henry? What are you doing? Can't you guys make it so I can see both of you? No?
Oh, it's upside down.
Oh, God. Oh, there it goes.
There it goes.
There we go.
We're hearing all about what a great guy you are.
Really? She's lying.
No, and David Young approves of you, and just all kinds of great stuff.
That tells you right there that I'm probably not a great guy.
Not a great guy.
If he likes me, something's wrong with me.
And he said that I watched the match. Like, have you guys only done one match together? Have you done more since the one that I saw?
No, just the one.
That was some good stuff.
Thank you.
Not for like trying though.
Okay.
Yeah, we tried to do it again, but we just haven't been able to make it happen yet.
I want to see that. I'm looking forward to it. I really did enjoy that match, and you're, you know, you were so torn and all that. He was so excited to talk about it on the podcast.
That's awesome.
Very, very. So you work at, you're not at the same gym that she works at, or you do?
No, for sure not. Because if we did that, we wouldn't get anything done.
Well, no, but then we all know that.
No, you work at the same one.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I do. So I work at two locations. One of them happens to be the one that she runs.
Okay, because I didn't know if their weights. I think their weights cut off at a certain.
Okay, like it's not quite that bad. It's not quite that bad.
Oh, Planet Shitness is. So I didn't know. Okay.
No. They go up to like your wives go with what, 90s or 100s?
100s.
They go up to 100s.
Do you have those guys like they do at Planet Shitness where they're on like the leg press and then they like make a really big stink about grabbing as many plates in the gym that they can and they balance it on the sled?
Oh, I mean,
it's so bad.
I feel like that's like almost every gym. You always have those guys or girls.
No, it's a guy. No woman's.
Yeah. I don't know. This place, man. Yeah, there's some jack females here.
All right. Well, but they probably wouldn't act like that. Before I let both of you guys go and girls, advice for up and coming wrestlers. Just we'll leave it on that because we.
I think one is listen to people who know more than you.
What you said in your interview that I'm reading, I read right before that, and then it said that it took you a while to actually get the memo on that, even though somebody told you that.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a mistake a lot of people make. Also, another mistake I think a lot of young guys make is staying in one area, not getting out, not traveling enough. I think that's a big thing.
Now, I wouldn't have thought of that as something.
Yeah, because like people get caught up in like, I guess being like the king or queen of their own region, right? And then it kind of limits you to what you can do in the world of wrestling, especially now with indie wrestling, you know, so much out there. Well, there was whenever the world returns back to normal, you know, there's so many opportunities out there that I think it's important to travel if you can and get as many places as possible, because then you build up your fan base. You know, people from different states actually know who you are, because you'd be surprised, like, if you're not on WWE or, you know, AEW or whatever, then like you'd be surprised how regional things are. People, you come to a location, you might think you're a big deal, but then like you come there and nobody knows who you are. So you got to build a fan base almost everywhere you go now.
That's really good advice. I haven't heard anybody say that one or not. One that I would give, because I have a lot of females that I talk to that are wanting advice from me. I don't know why for wrestling stuff, but.
Oh, come on.
But I mean, I didn't do much when it comes to that. I did, you know, the backstage interviewing, managing and all of that. But, you know, a lot of them, which is I can't really give this advice as two people sit in the car together that are married. But, you know, don't date a wrestler. No offense. But like so many of them find themselves somebody or having an affair with one and then shit hits the fan. And then that region is burned for them because, you know, it's a little unbalanced with the quality with the chicks. You know, for them, nobody cares if the guy did that, but the girl gets blackballed. So, you know, the easy answer for that is if wrestling is really, really what you want to do, you might want to, you know, keep your shenana, you know, penis free with a wrestler until you're established. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's tricky. And I mean, I should talk. I'll just leave it as a blanket statement as I made mistakes. When I was in wrestling, big ones. And I wish, like I said, the reason Amber's on here is because her dad was on here, because I'm getting redemption for 18 years ago when I started with NWA Impact Wrestling. It was a complete idiot. I didn't listen to anybody. I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just young and dumb and blowing through money and being stupid. I didn't even, like, when I look at some of indie matches and I look up, you know, people's matches, I would look back at that and I'd be like, what's this? And it's like, what's this, you freaking idiot? This is somebody getting their start and learning their craft And you should be like hailing that and cultivating that and appraising that, because, you know, I went back with your dad, Amber, and I AJ Styles matches, you know, that they did stuff together. And I mean, I knew AJ when it was a brand new promotion and we were all just sitting on bleachers and I'm just running around from Beverly Hills like some ass wipe, you know, thinking that I'm God's biggest gift to everything. And I didn't look at AJ the way I should have. I should have looked at him as my equal or my peer, somebody that was had equal opportunity, but I literally thought I was better than else. And now, well, the tables have turned. You know, it's like the respect, the listening to people. I wish when I was in wrestling that I wasn't chasing wrestlers and dating guys like that. I wish that I would have sat down and like listened to the Rock and Roll Express or listened to what the hell's Terry's last name? Terry the Oh God, I can't remember his name right now. That's how
Taylor?
Bad.
Taylor.
Not Terry Taylor. Terry. God dang it, he's around here sometimes. Older. Total legend. He was always just crazy and drinking, and I should have listened more. I should have.
Terry Funk. Right?
I was going to say Terry Funk.
Not Terry Funk. Who the fuck is his name? I'll remember it, and I'll message you. The bottom line is I didn't listen. Like, I was so consumed with the wrong stuff, and if I would have listened to people at all the after parties and when we hung out at wherever, I would have been a better interviewer. I would have had some background and some psychology. So I guess some advice also would be, you know, do your homework on people so that if you ever do get the opportunity to be on the mic or if there's an impromptu, you know, interview or something like that, have something to say other than just something about yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. So,
but great advice about moving around and not just having a residency. Like, I've never heard anybody say that again. So
that was my big mistake. You know, like, I was lucky enough to do some cool things, you know, in these past, you know, 3-4 years, whatever. But I feel like I really messed myself up and could have got there a lot sooner. And now I'm 36 years old. And, you know, I could have been there at like, you know, 30 years old. As opposed, or maybe even earlier than that. And
12, good for you.
Yeah.
Botox.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I wish. Well, maybe one day.
Both of you, I can't thank you enough for sitting in on the tail end of this. This is the top of the hour, the Realm Network, Goldie's Closet, a very special number for special people. It's episode number 69. So I hope you've enjoyed it. We want to put our hands together. You guys have to do the golf clap. Everybody clap. Clap for everybody.
I can't. I'm holding
on with one hand. The clap. We want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you to our guest today. Check it out. And I would tell you to follow her, but it's not public because too many of you feel the need to send dick pics. So you might want to stop that.
I told her the story.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything else that we can promote for both of you that people can look for or follow you at or hustle out? Is there anything for your husband? What can we tell? What's the call to action here that we can tell people?
I mean, you guys are definitely, anybody listening is definitely welcome to follow me along and see what's going to happen next. I have no clue, obviously. I'm really been getting more into the fitness than the wrestling as of right now, but that could change.
Follow
so if you want to follow me.
Follow you where? Follow you where?
Oh, yeah. Anthony Henry is the handle on everything. So A-N-T-N-Y Henry on everything.
You got it. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and thank you both for making time.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Goldilocks, and we are inside Goldie's Closet. And I want to ask a favor of you all, whether you watch the show or not, if you come to our band shows, what have you, it's something that you can do to support, and it costs nothing and no time at all. If you shop on a very popular online website, I would really appreciate it if you would bookmark some of the items that you are shopping for. And if you could just simply do this, go to goldienose.blogspot.com. If you go over to the right, all the way to the bottom, the About Me section, there's a link. It just says I'm an Amazon affiliate. If you click on that, it takes you inside my umbrella, and everything that you order, I can earn just some help and support to keep all of this going, to keep the band going. We've got a hefty vehicle repair. It's pretty substantial. So it would be really great if you could remember my link. We get some support. It's that simple. I love you all. thank you for making the time to stop by and check out everything that we're doing. Mwah.